Okay, the boys, we begin with the new Mishnah on Daf Chof Tes Amid Aleph, roughly a quarter down the Amid. Look the Mishnah, very famous Mishnah. Kol Mitzis HaBen Alhu Av HaNoshim Chayovim VeNoshim Peturais. All the Mitzis HaBen Alhu Av. The Gemara is going to ask as soon as we start the Gemara, does that mean mitzvahs that are incumbent on the son to do on behalf of his father, or it's the other way around? Is a mitzvah incumbent on the father to do on behalf of his son? And of course, the reverse will be the next shtickl mishnah, b'chol mitzvahs av halaben. So we'll see that in Mirchim as soon as we start the Gemara. So these mitzvahs are ben alav, anoshim chayovim, the men folk are chayiv, the noshim pturais, and the women are potter. On the other hand, b'chol mitzvahs av halaben, the other way around, then echad anoshim, the echad noshim chayovim, both men and women are equally chayv. And again, the Gemara is going to describe what those are. B'chol mitzvah aseh shehazman grama, any mitzvah aseh shehazman grama that is tied to the clock or to the calendar. Anoshim chayov, and only menfolk are chayv, and noshim turis, and the women are potter. And the Meforshim say that the reason for that is because since women, when they get married, they have all different types of responsibilities to their husbands and to their children. Therefore, the Torah gives them a patur, so they don't have any interference between one and the other. Because this man, Grum, I have to go and daven this morning at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Who's going to feed the kids? Who's going to go and dress them? Who's going to go and prepare them to go to cheder? This and that, the other thing. And so that's, yes.
So that would be true if, by any chance, a man became responsible for the children, for the house, for everything, because there's no woman.
I'm afraid to say that I don't think there is such a patur, but you're welcome to discuss that with a competent Orthodox rabbi. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, so that's why, in terms of the women folk, they are potter of mitzvah seishah mangroma. But if it's not a mitzvah seishah mangroma, so they can do it later, they can do it earlier. So therefore, there is no such patur. That's why that's man goyim. The women are also mechuyim, just like the men. Anything which is a mitzvah loy sase, you're not allowed to do it. Then it applies across the board. Echad anoshim v'echad anoshim chayovin. Bein it's yours man grama, nitz man grama. All the things are the same. And that's why, for instance, lamushal gabi Shabbos. Ein lecha mitzvah cessation on grama yoisim izu, Shabbos falls out every single Shabbos. So on the first part you would say, okay, women are potter from Shabbos. It's a mitzvah cessation man grama. But because Shabbos is not only zocha, it's also shamar, which means it's not only mitzvah say, it's also a mitzvah. Loisesser, kom melecha leisasu, you're not doing melecha. That's why it applies equally for the men and for the women, even though it's man grama. Chutz. Only three exceptions to the rule, vis-a-vis the women, even though these are mitzvahs loisese, and they're not tied to a zman grama, so certainly women should be chayiv. Nevertheless, there is a special exception for the rule for these three, and we'll see more about this in the Gemara. The baltashkes, of course, is the easy one. Baltashkes means not to destroy one's beard. Since most women don't have beards, there is no problem. About Takif and Mitzvah, the Gemara is going to learn Takif and Tashkos, they have the same din. Why the Talmud Mason? Why that's especially a din by men and not by women, by Kehanim and not by Kehanis? We'll see Mitzvah in the Gemara. All of these things we're going to find in the Koyrois and Sukkim in the Gemara.
What does me about Takif mean?
Takif means to go and remove one's payas.
Thank you.
Very well. That's why men have to have payas. They don't have to have Krasl to pay, but they have to pay us until the bone. Women do not have such a thing. Zokti Mara. We start again at the beginning of the Mishnah. Kol mitzvah haben alhu av. Zokti Mara, what does that mean? My kol mitzvah haben alhu av. Ilenge kol mitzvah demachayiv bro. The mebat liaba doesn't mean all the mitzvahs that a son has to do on behalf of his father. So this would be kol mitzvah haben, the mitzvahs that are incumbent on the son. Allah Av to do on behalf of his father. Are you telling me Anoshim Chayobais and Noshim Peturois? But Tani, I have a price. Ish, says in the Pasuk, Ish Imoy Viobif Tiruahu, Ish Eni Ela Ish. Ish Aminayin, how do I know? Isha, Ish Oimer, says in the Pasuk. ish imay v'avet tira u, the chayyim should say ish imay v'avet tira. Why does it say tira u? Tira is referring to two people that have to have yira and mora, or respect and reverence for their parents. Harikan shnayim, tira told you it's not just the son, but also the daughter. Ah, so that being the case, how can it say in the Mishnah, if mitzvah ben al-av means that a tzibah that the son has to have for his father, how can you say nashim apater? If the mitzvah, for instance, is kibud, or more particularly, yiras for av or aim, so let's talk about yiras av, that's not just a din on the son, that's a din on the daughter too. So it doesn't make sense to say the nashim keturah. And if omra yehud it's taka pung faket, ochi karma, kol mitzvah ben hamutolois alu av, lasois livnoi. Ah, that's what the Mishnah says. Kol mitzvahs haben, all those mitzvahs that affect a son, alu av, which are incumbent on the father to perform, and that for that he is achroi, he has to take responsibility. Then what's the din? Noshim chayovin, the noshim beturais. In such a case, the women are potter. And you're wondering, what are those mitzvahs that we are referring to? Five of them, like it says in the Brisa, Tamilah the Tanah Rabbanan, or Av Chai Bibinoi. Father is Mechuyev vis-a-vis his son, Lemuloi, Bismillah, Philip Doisai, Pidgin Haben, Ulalam the Torah, to teach him Torah, Vasiyah Isha, to marry him off, Ulalam the Onlis, and to go and teach him a livelihood, a profession, a work.
Trade.
A trade. Good, very good. So those are the five. As well as to go and teach him how to swim, just in case, says Rashi, if he happens to be on a boat and the boat is about to capsize, and then the problem is who's going to help him out? He should know how to swim. That's another thing that the father has to teach his son. The Yehuda adds a further PS to what we said, Lamdi Umnis, Lamdi Umnis. Lam they list this. If you don't go teach your son a trade, a profession, something to do, then chas v'sholom, you are teaching him to be a listen. What's a listen? A listen means like a highway robber. Faith about listen so right there. The person sat on his hands. It's true, he should have taught his son or given his son some sort of trade, profession, mask him. But it's not lam they list this. He didn't teach him to go and be a thief. Ella ki'ilu malam they list this. But a behu dement is, koshein malam is very humbless. It's as if he taught him to be a thief, because if you don't give your son a trade, then how is he going to support himself? He's going to be molesting es habriois. He's going to be a thief and steal from him. Now we're going to go through each one of the five mitzvahs which are incumbent on the father. The first one is the mulam. You know, and how do I know that a father has a mitzvah to go and mal his son? The citizen, the possibly yom avram etz yisur benoi ben shmoinas yom kashet tziva uisei elikim. Oh. So that's the original time we find by the Jewish people that there's a mitzvah milah that Avram went and mouthed his son on the eighth day. What happens if there is no father or the father didn't take action? Then the Bezdin has the job, they have the responsibility to make sure that he is kemalit. In other words, it falls on the community at large to make sure that someone has a first milah. The student says the pasuk, he moil lochem kol zochar. Klal Yisrael has this chiyuv to make sure that all of its scharim have a bris. What happens if the father unfortunately didn't give him a bris, and the bez in the community didn't go and see that he should have a bris? Then when he gets older, obviously not when he's 8 days old, but when he gets older, over bar mitzvah, he should see to it that he himself has a bris. A zachar who is an orel, that means he didn't have a bris. Ashala yimal, if he doesn't perform a bris, as psar losay on himself, the nichus is a din of kares. So we see that he has a chiyuv to make sure that he has a bris after he becomes a bar mitzvah. Ihi nolan v'lim chayva. How do we know that she, the mother, doesn't have a chiyuv to go and mala the son? That's the pasuk that we had by Avram. Avram, that Sarah Imenu was parted from having to go and give a bris for her son.
But Sarah gave a bris to
it doesn't say that she cannot, it just says no chiyuv. Ashchon miyad the deris min olam. That is for the initial generation, in terms of the times of Avram Avinu and the times of Sarah. How do we know that for all generations the same thing applies, that the women are patur? Whenever you see the word tzav in the Torah, it means Kadosh Baruch Hu is commanding. He's not just saying. Saying you have Faidam Hashem Moshalema, you say you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu saying every parasha numerous times. Okay, not in Bereishis, not in Devarim that much, but throughout the Torah, Vayidab Hashem. What's the tzav? The tzav is zeros. Zeros means zaris. Zaris doesn't just mean to do things quickly, but to do it with alacrity. Zeros of Siv, but tzav is yeshiva chazkei v'yamtzeil, mechazikim. Miyad l'doiris. The chziv minayim asher tziva Hashem v'hol l'doiris eichem. I see by Yeshua is a lotion of tzivoi. And then it says minayim asher tziva Hashem. That's possibly good. Yizumtai.
Abiyuz.
Eitzkol asher tziva Hashem aleichem v'yad moishem minayim asher tziva Hashem v'hol l'doiris eichem for all generations. So I see that the word tzav and tzivoi means miyad u'l'doiris. The same thing over here says the Gemara. It says in the pasuk by Avraham Avinu, "Kasher tziva oitzer l'kim tziva." The tziva is miyad u'l'doiris, both for him, yes, and for her, not. She has no chiyav oisay b'leis. And then it says liftoisay. That means opinion of bet. You know how I know this? It says the pasuk kol b'chor b'necha tivdeh, that all of your sons you have to be pointed from the b'chor b'necha, obviously. What happens if the father didn't do a pinyin aben? Oh, before we continue on a pinyin aben, let's go back to the case of Mila. By Bris Mila, we said only the father has a chiyuv and not the mother. How do we know? What do we have to go and come on to? Don't we have a rule in our Mishnah that women are butter and mitzvah sheh zman grom? When does we make a bris? On what day?
Eighth
day. Asman grama.
It's just afterward. It's just the beginning.
That's the text. So if you look at the Torah, it says oisav loy oisa. V'yem toyim alam ali kara. They betray the mitzvah man grama. Ushem nimo b'shmini levei v'asai. The nashim apturis. So what do I need oisav loy oisa? Yesh lema. King of the year nashim in the Allah. Since after the eighth day. What happens if you don't do the bris on the eighth day? The child was sick. Maybe there was no father. The child was too small. Whatever, and therefore now you're only doing it at bris shelo bizmano, then ain't no hafsik. And at this point, there's no hafsik. In other words, the chiyuv goes on forever and ever. Live with blab zman groma, even though the initial starting time is on the 8th, but after that, there's no zman groma. It's, no, it's not like sukkis. If you didn't go into the sukkah, you didn't go and choke the wheel of an esrog on sukkis, that after sukkis, it's all over. No. If you don't do the bris on the 8th day, you do it a few days later, a week later, a month later, a year later, years later. V'yem feilu ha-makadim mitzvah man grom hu de'im ma'am el b'yoyim. B'yoyim ha-shmina yibal b'sar ha-losa. It's got to be b'yoyim. So that's even post the 8th day. Kis perkaru. Yishvon mit yasakwan di amar ha-sam. V'yem yishvon b'zman and the egg is b'yim b'yoyim and b'layim. In fact, it's a machloikis. Whether after the 8th day, can you do a bris at night? Don't you want b'yoyim and you can. Ah, see, since you can, so therefore it's not a mitzvah hazeisha as man groma after the 8th day. Now you can do it 24 hours for the rest of your life, except of course for Shabbos and Yom Tov, because you don't want to be in the college Shabbos and Yom Tov. But otherwise, it goes forever and ever, and therefore it's no long mitzvah hazeisha man groma. That's why I have to have the oisoi for loy oisa. Good. So now we get back to the Gemara Miftoisa. We know how I know the Sibko B'chor B'necha Tivda, Be'echelei Parki Avu, if the father didn't do the Binyan Ben Machayiv, Ihu L'Mifrake, then he is Mechayiv himself. In other words, once he becomes Bar Mitzvah, this is not that uncommon. You have many Bali Tshuva whose fathers didn't know that there's a din of a Binyan Ben by a B'chor. They only find out years later, and they make a Binyan Ben years later. They become a Bali Tshuva, the age of 25, the age of 50, etc. Rismila we had in the last 30, 40, 50 years when the Jews were finally let out of the Soviet Union, thousands of them came without a bris. And Baruch Hashem, many of them had bris when they came to America. Anyway, even though many of them were already 50, 60, 70, some of them were 80 years old and they still had a bris. Unbelievable. That's Yiddish and Neshama. But getting back to Agmar, if the father didn't go and do a pinyin ben, he has to be paid himself to sit. Ach padoi sifta. The double lashon padoi sifta means that if the father didn't do it, you got to do it.
Not the best thing.
Twice. The same thing applies generally. All these dinim. What happens if a person is on the trailer thinking Mor is going to bring something? We'll have to see the other base. Chayiv ilamim menafshi. Mor doesn't say anything about there also that the bezin has to do it. Here there was a special pasuk. Kimoy lachem kol zocher. But there, there's no pasuk. Why Rabbi Yisrael made that then? I guess Resmid is considered to be in the eyes of Rabbi Yisrael, the real core of Yiddishkeit. That's how a person
is considered.
Okay, so you have another answer. Very good. Thank you. How do I know that the mother doesn't have the din opinion of Ben if there's no father? Now the truth of the matter is it only says the word tifta. However, this is like all those gemaras that you have. Yesh, ein, the mikra, yesh, ein, the masaydas. So you can go and read the word tifta as if it says tipada. And therefore says the gemara kol shem mitzvah, lifteis es atzvay, mitzvah lifteis es achay. When would a person have a mitzvah to be pointed to somebody else if he or she has a mitzvah to be pointed themselves? Since a woman doesn't have a mitzvah to be pointed herself, she doesn't have a mitzvah to go and be pointed her children or anybody else. And that begs the question, how do we know, Taka, that she doesn't have a mitzvah to go and be pointed herself? I have another pasuk. Again, it says tifta tipada. The Gemara learns tifta tipada again. Yeshem the mikra, Yeshem the b'sayris. Kol she'achinim mitzvum liftoisai. Mitzvum liftoisai is atzmai. Any individual where others have a mitzvah to be poyed that person in turn has a mitzvah to be poyed himself. Kol she'ain achinim mitzvum liftoisai. If others don't have to be mitzvah to go and poyed him, ain mitzvah liftoisai is atzmai. If others don't have a mitzvah to be poida that individual, then that individual doesn't have a mitzvah to be poida himself. So now that begs the question: how do I know that others don't have a mitzvah to be poida her? Ah, the yamakra. That's the pasuk that we started off with. So it starts off that nobody has a mitzvah to go and be poida a girl. Therefore, she doesn't have a mitzvah liftos es atzma based on tifteti pada. Whoever doesn't have a mitzvah liftos es atzma doesn't have a mitzvah liftos es achirim, and that's why she's not mitzvah on her own son. Tan Rabbanan, who liftos ben liftos? What happens? He himself, his father, unfortunately, was not hoide him, and he himself was zoicha to have his own son to be poided. But he only has five shkolim, five slalom altogether. What do we do now? Dr. Avi Gemara, who koyim l'nai? He should rather go be poyed himself, not his son. And the Gemara is going to say later on in the other days, because mitzvah de gufei adif. First take care of yourself, and then you'll take care of yourself. So, yet Hashem, tomorrow, next week, next month, you'll have more money, you'll be poyed his son, but he goes first, who lifteis? When I lift this, who got him back? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, benoi koyd moi. No, his son comes first. She'ezem mitzvase al oviv, zem mitzvus benoi olav. We have heard the same question that we had before. We didn't deal with the women yet. Okay, we'll come. Good. So he has to be poyd himself, and the ben has to be poyd. He has to poyd his ben. Who koyd moi? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, benoi koyd moi. He should rather go and first be poyed to his son, shezem mitzvosei al aviv, meaning the son's chiyuv is primarily and initially on the father, because when he becomes 30 days old, the father is supposed to be poyed to his son. The mitzvah benoi olav, and as far as the mitzvah benoi, that at this point is his own mitzvah. In other words, when we're dealing with being poyed to the son or being poyed to himself, we had in the Braisa, and that's what the Mishnah was alluding to, this is a mitzvah saben ala av. So, the Torah says, every father has to be poyed to his ben. Okay, so then, b'noi koyd moi, because that is his mitzvah, to go be poyed to his himself. To be poyed to, in other words, he himself should be poyed to his son. to be poyed himself, that's not primarily his mitzvah, that is or was his father's mitzvah. Ah, so therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, b'noi koymish zeh mitzvah say al aviv, zeh, this father, his mitzvah was on his father should have done it. V'zeh, this kid, mitzvah b'noi olav, this son, it's his mitzvah. First do your own mitzvah, in other words, the mitzvah that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you to be poyed to your son, called b'chor b'necha tivteh. If you have more money, then you'll take your father's mitzvah to go and be poyed to yourself. So now this sounds like a broad machlekes. Says Gemara, Amr Yirmiyah, that it's not so broad. How kol moedim kolecha dileke el chomish sloim hu kredim levnon? That if you only have five sloim all together to your name, then you should go and do yourself first. Ma'itayma mitzvah de gufe adifa. It's on you yourself. Take care of your own mitzvah first, and if there's enough money left over, you do your son. But there's only five sloim. So what's the machlekes? This person has, in fact, $10, 10 sloim to his name. How do you have 10? 5 that he has, in fact, in B'nai Choyrin. B'nai Choyrin could be, if you will, cash, or it could be that he has a property which is worth 5 sloim. He also has 5 Mishubadim, a property that he previously owned, but which he sold to somebody else, which no longer belongs to him. Ah, now how is that property mishubad? Because he himself, that's the father of the son, who his father was not poyed. He himself was born prior to the time that this property was sold. However, his son in turn was born after the property was sold. And the Gemara is going to tell us in a moment, according to Yehuda, Milva Hakosad Batoira Kiksuva Bishtar Damir. And therefore, it's as if we have a lien on that property that was sold for the pre-existing choiv to be poide es haben. However, that didn't encompass the son that was born later, because that choiv only existed post sale. It goes up to you, Mark. Keep ligid hech ve'ikha chomish mishabon v'chomish b'nei chayr. V'yuda sovar milva dechsub batoyra kechsub b'shtar damya. Look, chsub batoyra means any mitzvah the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you, that's an obligation. And it's written in the shtar being the Sefer Torah that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us. Oh, and therefore, b'hani chomish orik l'brei, the 5 which he has b'nei chayrin, he should go and use to go and be poyrik, to be poyrik to his son. And now, at this point, what about himself? After that, the Kohen can go and take away the 5 Mishubadim on behalf of the father. Because since the father was born prior to the sale of the property, so then there's a Shibud, a lien, a mortgage on the property to go and pay for that Binyan Aben, which was never paid. So now the Kohen can go and chap. On the other hand, had the Kohen gone and taken the 5 b'nei choyrin on behalf of the father, what would have happened is the only thing that's left is the 5 mishubadim. That 5 mishubadim he cannot use anymore for the son, because there was no lien on the property for the son. The son was only born post the sale of the property. So therefore, that makes a lot of sense. Rabbanim tzavri milva dechsid v'yaraisa lav kisud b'shtar damya. It's like a milval bet. Milval bet, it doesn't have a lien on the property. So then you only have 5 available altogether. Those are the 5 b'nei chayin. They'll talk mitzvah de gufei, other, like the Gemara said on the second line. If you only have 5, mitzvah de gufei comes first. Till now we spoke about pidyon and pidyon. Let's talk about other things. Now, sukkah's time. I only have 5 sloy. Should I use it for the pinyin aben, or should I use it to go up to Eretz Yisrael and to be able to mekayim the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel? It's point of this for noy v'yachach oy l'regel. So it's a tanakama. You have a chiyuv of pinyin aben. Presumably that chiyuv of pinyin aben predated the chiyuv of aliyah l'regel. When the son became 30 days old, you got to pay it off. Go and do the pinyin aben, and after that you do aliyah l'regel. If you have any money left, if you don't, you can't. When it comes to binyan aben, if you don't do it now, you'll do it next week, you'll do it next month, you'll do it next year. It's just like bris milah. this is a continuing chiyuv that goes on forever and ever. And that's another reason why we'll talk about that.
But there's no discussion whether or not the father did not have a bris and also is left, he only has five slayim. Does he do his bris or does he do his son's bris?
The assumption over here is that there is no cost involved in doing the bris. On a practical level, a moil expects to go and get paid.
Remunerated.
Correct. But presumably a kind-hearted moil that knows that the person doesn't have money will do the bris for free. There was a Yid Rumi Kohn, Zechana Bracha, who was a wonderful, wonderful person. He passed away at the beginning of COVID, was in his 80s. He never had any children, and the Rabbanim suggested to him, since he doesn't have children, so that he should at least try to go and be mekayim the mitzvah of raising children by bringing in children for bris of Avraham Avinu. And he probably did in his lifetime 20 or 30,000 or more bris.
Wow.
And he was one of the world's experts on adult bris. When the Jews came out of Russia, and there's an organization called FREE, which is a large organization that helped out the Russian emigres. So one of the big things that they did was mass bris for thousands of Russians, and he was one of those that did countless bris, and he taught others mamela to do a bris in order when a small child of 8 days old. Baruch Hashem, there are quite a few moilim throughout the world. You talk about a person 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, and he has a large arla, and that's already against a surgical procedure, and not so many mumkin. He was one of them that did that. So I'm assuming he did not get paid, because he was I don't think he was a wealthy person. He was a person of means, because he had panasa elsewhere, but he did, thousands of bris. So you don't have to worry about the five slum, presumably you find a kind-hearted moil that'll do it for free, and you'll give him a note, you can do the best you can to pay him back later on, etc. Opinion of Ben, you gotta give five slum. The Kohen can't say, okay, yeah, I'm moichel the five slum. You gotta give the five slum for the bidden. The bidden imar oil the regular yakapoit, so which is a mitzvah. Where is the mitzvah? Shayna that. Here, I'll leave the regular, came to I'll leave the regular next week. You gotta do it now on Sukkot. You got to do it now on Pesach. After Pesach is over, you won't be able to bring your carbon Pesach of the oil ring. It's very slow that Rabbi Yehuda can come a timer. Rabbi Yehuda gives a wonderful explanation. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? It'd be oil regel, because of the fact it's a mitzvah oiveris. And the Rabbanu might tell my, L'choy Rabbi Yehuda is a very good point. Why did the Tanakhama say, V'yipoy de'es v'noy v'yachkach oil regel? Rabbanu on the Yomakro, look at the Pasek. Koy v'chor v'necha sifte, v'leiro f'anai reikam. But these two parts of the pasuk are on the surface totally unrelated, and therefore they're coming to tell you a very important message. If you have the Torah or Hashalim, so fetach hamar tiftah b'ser, it's ois aleph. Fetach hamar tiftah b'ser and moisif devar afkay. That's talking about, of course, the din of fetach hamar. And then it says kol b'char b'necha sifteh tigin aben. Leirofanarekam is a din, of course, of being oil regel, that you have to go and bring your carbon oilas re'ia. So why does it say b'char b'necha and then irofan erekam? To tell you the halacha, says the Rabbanan, that if you only have enough money to accomplish one of the two, to bring an event first before you go aliyah erekam. Don't you want to write the Tanur Rabbanan? Minayin shem hoyu loy chamisha bon mechamish noshim shechayev liftois kulon. What happens if a person has five wives and each one of the wives has a b'char? And of course, in the times of Chazal, this could have been simultaneous. In other words, a person could be married to more than one wife. And even today, you could have a person who has a Zivik Sheni or Shlishi, a person that was married multiple times, either because, unfortunately, his wife passed away, or because he gave a get. And each time, if he marries a Psula, and each time there is a Bechor Haben, each time he has to go and do Bechor Benechatit, is it do we have even five? Pidyon Abetz, theoretically even more. Frank Mar, Shita, I don't understand the grace of Kiddush. Beterechem Tol Rachman. Torah says that it's got to be the Beterechem. That's the one that you go and do the Pidyon Abetz. Beterechem is not referring to the husband, it's referring to the mother who has a womb. So it's Chadav Apashit. Any woman, Beterechem, the first that emerges from that womb, you have to go and do a Pidyon Abetz. So if you might have said, I would have thought, neither Bechor, Bechor, Minachla. Here Itaka says, "Kol b'char b'necha tifteh." But then there's another b'char. What's the other b'char? We learned it recently in Parashas Ki Seitzeh, kias bechor ben hasnua yakir losis loy pishnayim bechol hashiyu motzi loy ki hu reishis oinoy loy mishvara bechoyra. So there it's talking about also a bechor, and it's talking about bechor le nachla losis loy pishnayim bechol hashiyu motzi loy, to give him a double portion. And the pasuk ends off ki hu reishis oinoy, because this is his first strength, meaning the zera that was mazria that caused this child to be born. So mal halon reishis oinoy, I might have learned a zera shava bechor, and just like bechor, it's got to be reishis oinoy, his first seed, his first strength. And obviously, if you're talking about five women that are having five bechorim, by the time we get to wife number two, it's no longer reishis oinoy. So afkan reishis oinoy kamash malon. No, there's no din of reishis oinoy. It goes strictly by the wife and not by the husband, as vis-a-vis the wife, if it turns out that the wife is in fact a petarecham, you have to go and do a bris, not a bris, you have to do a pinyin a ben, even if it turns out to be a second or third wife, etc. Yeah, Rabbi, you have a question. Sorry?
Regarding inheritance.
Yes. Gets a double portion.
Only the first, because there are only five bechorim to chayim.
It's before the av, not before the ein.
We have five bechorim, so only the first gets double.
I don't know if you heard Barry, but Barry said that as opposed to opinion of Ben, where we go after the mother, the Petr Rechem, Petr Korechem, and it comes to Bechor Lenachla, we go after the father. Therefore, vis-a-vis the father, there can only be one Bechor, you can't have multiple Bechor.
Only the first.
Only the first.
It's the Mishnah Bechor, is
good.
Mishnah Bechor Lenachla, Mishnah Bechor Lenachla, Mishnah Bechor Lenachla, it's a Mishnah.
Barry says further, if you'd like to look up the Sechus Bechoyrois, there's a Mishnah that says over there, Yesh Bechor Le'av,
Le'Nachla,
Le'Nachla, and Le'Pidyon, they're different laws when it depends on the Bechor. Okay, Zuki Morbaita. Le'lam Doi Toira. When it comes to teaching Toira, that's the third one that we have. Le'moiloi, Le'toi, Se'lam, the Toira Mitzis, Haben Ala'av. So the mitzvah to go and teach your bonim, which means on the father, father has to teach his son Torah. If there is no father, the father didn't teach him Torah, then he has a chiyuv himself. And this is not the same pasuk, that's the limaratam. This is another pasuk. Where is this pasuk? So if you have the Torah or Hasholim, which we have over here, Dalit, he quotes from the Rashi. And look at the very end of the pasuk, Ulamaratam Moisam, Ushmaratam Nasoisam. And why they had to Dafka go and bring from the Rashi? I mean, Rashi is the one that Dafka quotes part of the pasuk, about eight lines from the top of the Yomim, Ulamaratam Moisam, Ushmaratam Nasoisam, you see there's a Dalit. But we have in the Gemara also the Sav Ulamaratam. It's nice to have the Dalit over here in the Gemara. So we call a kasha the masa. But anyway, ulamaratim, you have to learn yourselves. You don't have a father to teach you, you learn Torah yourself. How do we know the mother has no chiyuv to teach her son? So, tichsiv, ulamaratim, ulamaratim, koshin mitzvah, koshin mitzvah, lilmite, mitzvah, lilamit, koshin mitzvah, lilmite, any mitzvah, lilamit. Whoever has a mitzvah to go and learn has a mitzvah to go and teach. If you don't have a mitzvah to learn, you don't have a mitzvah to teach. So maybe she, every girl, maybe has a mitzvah to go and teach herself. There's no chiv on the father, but maybe there's a chiv on herself. When the person has others being mechuyev to teach them, they have a mitzvah to go and teach others. But if nobody has a mitzvah to teach them, then he or she doesn't have the mitzvah, but has no mitzvah to teach themselves. How do we take and know that nobody has a mitzvah to go and teach a girl? So this is similar to the drasha that we had back on the Amud Aleph, the Gabi Mila, that since nobody's mechuyev to go and teach her, then she doesn't have a chiyuv to go and teach herself. And since she doesn't have a chiyuv to go and teach herself, she has no chiyuv to go and teach others. That's why she's parted from having to go and teach her son. Tell her about who little might, who benai little might. What happens, once again, just like we had by Pidgin, now we talk about Limud HaTorah. Who little might, he wants to go and learn. And his son wants to go and learn. Well, he has a chiyuv to go and teach his son. And he doesn't have enough money to go and afford both teaching himself and teaching his son. Who, Kerdim Lemay, he should rather go and learn and not teach his son. Presumably later on he gets more money, or subsequently his son will go and learn on his own. But he has to worry about himself first. Like Yomar said before, Mitzvah de Gufei Yadav. But if Yehuda Aymer, Im Benoi Zoriz Umam Mulach, the other, another gears of Umam Mulach, or Um Mutzlach, in other words, if the son is a better candidate for learning than the father, the Talmudim is kind of Yadav, and he remembers what he's learning, it's not in one ear, out the other, Benoi Kaimai, then he should rather have his son go and learn instead of him. And Yomar tells us a story. You had Rabbi Yankov, the raid of Acha Biyankov, Rabbi Acha Biyankov had a son, Yaakov, Shadri Avu al Kamali Abaye. The father sent his son in front of Abaye to go and learn. He also Chazi Deloi Ham Mechadin Shmaite. When the son returned from the learning by Abaye and he came home, Rabbi Acha Biyankov saw that his son didn't do such a good job in learning. Kind of means sharp. He wasn't sharp in his learning. In other words, he didn't really understand, or he didn't really chap what's going on. So therefore the father said to the son, you know, I'm not adif minach, I learn better than you. Toiv at, you should stay here together, presumably with your mother. Maybe you should go and support her. The Ezra, no, and I'm going to go and learn instead by Abai. Shoma Abai de kohava osi. So Abai heard that the father is coming to him, and he knew of Rav Acha Bar Yankov's reputation, who apparently already at that time was a Talmud Chacham, and as we'll see, apparently a Yira Tzadik. What happened? Havahahu Mazik Beir Rabbanan Di Abaye. He was a Mazik. We say a Mazik, we don't mean a person of Mazik, we mean a Shindalit, an evil demon type of Mazik, that was causing Tzaris there, Beir Rabbanan, among the Talmidim of Abaye. And this Mazik was very brazen. Betray, even when two of the Talmidim were walking together, even in the middle of broad daylight, Havamitsuki, unfortunately he would be mazik them and they would be damaged. The reason why the Gemara tells us that is because in other places it says in the Gemara that usually the mazikin don't start up with more than one person. If you have two people going together, that already should take care of it. And number two, they usually don't go and they're not mazik during the day, only at night. So that's why it says in the Gemara, al yetzi udim yichide balayla, don't go out on your own in a rural community where there are no lights, where there are no people around, because chashom, there could be a hezek. Mashenkin, if you have two people, okay, even though it's balayla. And here the Gemara is telling us, even during the yoyim, even two people, this mazik would be mazik. Obviously, this was a very great danger to the Talmidim of Abaye. Omel Hus, Abaye said to all the townspeople, Veleisiv Le Inish Ushbiza, when Rav Acha Bar Yankov arrives, nobody should invite him into their homes to stay overnight. Maybe a mess will occur. What happened? Oh, he saw that nobody invited him. He had nowhere to go. In fact, slept in the Bismedish there where the Talmidim were learning. He slept on the back bench, probably. In Milekitanina, the Shiva Rishvose, this Mazik now appeared to him, this evil demon appeared to him like a shlang, like a snake, with seven heads. Called Kriya Dekora, when he, Rav Acha Bar Yankov, was davening, every time that he bowed yet again, what happened? Not a chad reshe, one of the heads of the seven heads fell down. So apparently he did seven kriyas altogether, and then all seven heads fell off, and as a result the mazik was killed. It's amalahu lemachar. So now Rav Acha Bar Yankov said the next day to Abaye and the others, Eloi Yisrachish Nisa. Second, if it wasn't for the fact that a nes occurred, I would have been in sakana. Baruch Hashem, because both have made a nes, that this shindalit was killed, and therefore I was able to survive. However, the presumably Rachel Yaakov wasn't happy, and therefore he's saying, kind of into that nest.
Basically.
Yeah. Now we have the obvious question: isn't there a din of ein seimcha al hanes? You have the
Rashi. It wasn't al hanes for himself or by
Yisrael. Right. But you might be seimcha on somebody else. If you look at the Rashi in the middle, where they said inish, they inish ushpiza, Rashi in the middle, left hand margin,
l'racha,
nobody should offer a bed, a place to sleep for a bacha. Now, according to Yom HaSavj, he's not going to have anywhere else to sleep, he'll sleep in the Spanish. Mitur chasidu, so yasal ines, and that's what will happen. The yarek is the mazik is going to be, he's going to be dead. So, in fact, the Marsha in the back asks this question, that is, don't we have the rule of ein sunchan al hanes? So how is he allowed to go and put him into a mokum sakana? He says, In other words, what is a nes when a person doesn't have sufficient chusim and you go and try to put him in a mokum sakana? Ain't zemekan nes. That someone who had a reputation of being a great tzaddik and Abaye knew that about Rabbi Bianca, he would say, this is Shkenas, this is Derech HaTeva. Wherever he goes, whatever he does, there'll be Nisim Benefluas everywhere because of his great sins. This is the Masha. Okay, Tana Rabban, getting back to our Gemara, Lumi Tana Valisa Isha. Now we're talking about not the father, we're talking about an individual. An individual has two choices. On the one hand, he'd like to go and learn Yeshiva. On the other hand, he'd also like to get married. What should he do first? He should first go and learn, and when he's finished with his learning, then he should go and marry. However, if he feels a very strong desire to get married, and he doesn't want to have irgurim, thoughts about marriage, if he really feels he has to get married, he should first get married, then he should go and learn Torah subsequently. Om Ravira Mishmuel, Halacha, the Halacha is Noisi Isha, Viachach Yom Matoyah. First get married, and then after that learn Torah. Yechanan was just the opposite. Vechayim Mitzavorai, if he is Mechuyiv to go and support a family, this is of course an expression, Vechayim that he has the millstone around his neck, and he has to go and support a family. Viachach Matoyah! He has to afford to be able to go and support his family. So therefore he should rather go out and get a job, and then after that, noisy isha. Or if nafshi chashba taira, yil my taira, and then subsequently noisy isha. At that time, he'll have to go and find a means of support. However, how can you go and say noisy isha should go married and continue learning? Who's going to support the family? So now, obviously, these two opinions are diverged. That's a major difference. According to Bino Mishmua, he should first get married and then learn. According to Yochanan, he should first learn and then get married. It depends for us or for them. Now, who is the for us and who is the for them? For this, we have Rashi. Rashi is about 10 lines from the Ban of the Yemen. Halan Bahaluhu. B'nei Ba'avul Hayu Hoyuchen V'Gorsin Mishnayis Hatanoim V'Eretz Yisrael. The B'nei Ba'avul, many of them would go to Eretz Yisrael to learn in Eretz Yisrael, because they are not local, they are from Babel, learning in Eretz Yisrael. They don't have to worry about supporting their wives and their kids, because they're going to have to work it out themselves. I can't go and send them going food packages every day, so they'll take care of themselves. Noisi Ishi should rather go and first get married, to have a boy here, he won't have to worry about having Yehurim, he was already married. The Yakachonov, the Mandatari, should go to Eretz Yisrael to go and learn. So that's the first Mandiyam over here. Noisi Isha, that's Shmuel who's speaking. Shmuel was in Chutz Laaretz, in Bavel, in Nehedor, and he would say, Noisi Isha, younger man, first you should go and get married. And now you won't have Yehurim anymore because you're already married. You won't have to support a wife, go to Eretz Yisrael, and learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Lahu, next Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan, who's in Eretz Yisrael, he says, "L'bnei Eretz Yisrael, halon nimun koyman. They're all staying local. And Noisa Isha is going to get married. You turche bayis b'tom and olav. He's going to have to worry about supporting his wife and his family. Vivatlu, and he's going to have ditul teira. And therefore, said Rabbi Yochanan, Rechaim mitzavara biyasik b'toira. And therefore, if you want to continue learning Torah, learn Torah first, and then." When you start feeling that great urge to get married, then you go and get married. And so he learned Rashi. Now you see that it's a fairly lengthy Tosis. When I say it's fairly lengthy, here on the Amud Aleph and here on the Amud Beis, it doesn't look so bad. But if you continue on to the Amud Aleph, you see it's almost double on the next Amud. We won't learn the whole Tosis, but at least we'll get a little bit into the Tosis, because there's a major machlokes between Rashi and Tosis. First, Tosis quotes Rashi at length, Halan v'halahu, in the middle of the Amud. Pish because b'nei bavel yehoichem v'gorsin mishnayis v'tanoi meretz yisrael. Since they're learning in Eretz Yisrael, Ein Tzorech Habayis B'Tom Aleihem, and therefore they don't have to worry about supporting the family. No, it's Isha Da'avalei B'loi here. The Akach Levitayim. So that's the case of Shmuel in Bavel. Halahu in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan is speaking to Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Halo in Bnei Mkayim. No, it's Isha Yukol Tzorech Habayis B'Tom Aleihem Yivadlu, and therefore you should go and rather go and learn Torah first, and then go and marry second. Kosh Levitayim Ta'am. To mashu the komishul, to know the isha tchela kedei liyos loy here. That's the reason why you should marry first. You shouldn't have these here hurim about women. In Cain says Tosis, I don't understand the pshat. Akati ikke hirhur kimin joholchem limoichos from koima. If anything, maybe the hirhur would even grow on them now. He'd be stronger because he already.
You know they have a wife back home in Bavel.
He already lived with his wife once. He knows what the tam is to have a wife. Now that he happens to be 1,000 miles away, whatever it is in Eretz Yisrael, then he has even a greater hero. He's thinking all the time, my wife, my wife, my wife, Alavai could be together with her, etc. So I don't understand how that takes care of that issue. Just because he doesn't live in Babel, he lives now in Eretz Yisrael, he can be mafkir them and say, I don't have to worry about them, let them go and support themselves. If you look in his tzuba, the tzuba says, I'm going to go and support you. Those that come from Chutz Lord to Eretz Yisrael to learn, they'll become like collateral, and therefore they're going to be sold chas v'sholem just to go and support themselves. That Gemara is being critical on Rabbi Yosser that he paskin yet. The actual Gemara is talking about something else. The Gemara is saying you're relying on Rabbi Yosser. How can you rely on him? You see what he said. Anyway, al kenir lebein tam ipcha. Rebein tam learns punk fakert. The Rabbi Yochanan the Omer Rechaim Mitzavar v'yas v'toyv b'nei bavel diber. He's talking to the b'nei bavel. Sheni yochel laniach ishta v'yelach l'yom v'toyv. What type of thing is that? That you come from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and what do? You first go and you get married and you come here. Who's going to go and support them? Rechaim Mitzavar. You have a chit to go and support them. And in Bavel, the Derech Klal, the Bnei Torah were aniyim. Therefore, he's going to support their wives. Ushmul Yom Anoyis Ishat Chilin Bnei Eretz Yisrael Amar. He's talking to Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Shecholim Lilmay Bim Koyma. Vegam Him Ashirim. They happen to be wealthier in Eretz Yisrael. And it's interesting nowadays, it's a little bit than a hapachu. Usually, I haven't heard yet that any yeshiva here in America has their annual dinner in Yerushalayim. I've heard of quite a few yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael having their annual dinner here in America. So, at least at that time, the Gemara is saying the Bnei Eretz Yisrael were wealthier than the Yidden in Chutz Laretz. Right? Any Chutz Laretz, any Yidden here from Brooklyn go to Eretz Yisrael to go and solicit funds. But from Eretz Yisrael, they come here. Anyway, so you see the Bnei Eretz Yisrael were Ashirim. But Toivlish, you see, Shulim HaToyim and Tahara. It's much better since Baruch Hashem is an Oysher. He can support his family generously. So let him get married first. And then he'll learn Toivim, and then he'll learn Toivim and Tahara. He won't have to have Hirhurim, he has Baruch Hashem, his wife. Sometimes you had Bnei Eretz Yisrael also going in reverse, although the Derech Klal, it was Bnei Bavel that came to Eretz Yisrael. You had Bnei Yisrael coming to Bavel. Yeah. So now, what's going to bother us, and why did Rashi add that, why did Tosis add this footnote that somebody had so went to Bavel? Because, Frank Tosis, the Eintaima im Shmuel, Shoyim im Bnei Bavel, Temoy Bnei Eretz Yisrael, why is Shmuel, according to Rashi, who was very good, Shmuel was talking to Bnei Bavel, those were the locals, and he tells them, you can go and get married, go to Eretz Yisrael to learn, you won't have to worry about supporting your wives, you don't have to worry about your Hurim, go to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, but according to Tosis Pshat, Shmuel is talking to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. So how is he telling the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, Bnei Eretz Yisrael, I give you advice? And then we find in reverse, Rabbi Yochanan is giving advice to Bnei Bavel. I don't understand how that works. They tell him Shmuel show him Bnei Bavel, the more Bnei Eretz Yisrael, show you the fun of Talmidim of Bnei Eretz Yisrael, show him Medaber Lehem. Because Shmuel, in fact, was talking to some of the Talmidim from Eretz Yisrael. We said that the migration was typically from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. But that's why Tosis said the Yesh knew Pam, and they were also Eretz Yisrael. Even today, although the vast majority of Bnei Torah Americans go to Eretz Yisrael to learn in the Mir or Brisk or other yeshivas, you have Israelis that are learning here in BMG, learning in Lakewood, and others are learning in London and or Manchester, other places. So you have that as well. So therefore, it's appropriate that Shmuel is talking to the Bnei Yisrael. And Rabbi Yochanan and Alfred Bishahiyah Mir Yisrael, we know that there were many Talmidim from Bavel. That's the whole discussion, Bavel going to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore he's talking about Bavel. So it's the reverse of what Rashi said in terms of the Halon v'Halahu, whether to Bnei Bavel and Eretz Yisrael or Bnei Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, each one l'shitas. Okay, so going back to the Gemara now, the Tzeo Gemara Maisa. Mishtabeach lei Rav Chizl Rav Huna b'drav Hamnuna the Adam Gadlu. Rav Chizl is telling Rav Huna that Rav Hamnuna is an Adam Gadlu. If you remember, we had a few days ago in the Gemara, Rav Hamnuna was in fact a Talmud of Rav Huna, and Rav Huna was upset that the Bnei Nizunya didn't come to his shir, wanted to put them in Chayrim, and then he asked Rav Hamnuna to speak with them, and Rav Hamnuna was a Talmud of Rav Huna. Anyway, so it says better, Nuna the Adam Gadlu. Amalei, so now Rav Huna asked Rav Chizda, Shiyav liyadcha v'yav liyadcha. When he comes to you, please send him to me. In other words, I'd like to meet him. He also, when he came, Chazalei Pari Sudra, he saw that he was not wearing a Sudr. A Sudr is what we call together a shal. Shal like a shawl. Amalei, my time of the priest Sudra, how come you're not wearing a Sudra?
Maybe a hand.
Okay, we'll see. So now, what would he have done with this shawl? So we have the last ration. They would go and put a sudr over their heads, and that was the custom. In other words, similar to, for instance, even modern day custom among most people is that a bocher doesn't wear the talis over his head, but a person who gets married, he wears a talis over his head. So he saw that he didn't have a siddur on top of his head. But it doesn't mean necessarily b'davar, and it could mean that in general he was not covering his head with a siddur, which was the derech of people that were married. So he said, apparently you're not married. And from that point on, Rav Huna didn't want to look at Rav Hamnuna. On Malay, Chazi lechozis lehu leapi, he said to him, I don't want to see your face anymore, adenasvis, until you get married. I don't want a Talmud here, drain zachir the yeshiva, until you're married. Rav Huna l'tamei, Rav Huna goes l'shitas, v'yomah ben esrim shana, v'lenasa isha, v'yomah ba'avera. The person was already 20 years old and didn't get married, chasashon the rest of his life, ba'avera is like a baiter. Ba'avera sounds like chasashon, he's being mizanet. The fact that he waited so long, for the rest of his life, you got to go and get married early. Don't postpone. Don't push it off. Waits until he gets 20 years old. It's already 20. Literally, tipach means to blow up, to swell. But it's in a lashon klola chasashon. Person should get married, he shouldn't go and delay, he shouldn't push it off. The reason why I was better than my chaverim, presumably in learning, in a sivna b'shitzer, that I got married already at the age of 16. We have a sivna b'arbeis, and had I got married at the age of 14, have a minu l'satan yir leinecha, I would have felt emboldened to be able to go and say to the son, the yitzhara, that I'm going to go and shoot an arrow in your eye. Meaning that Baruch Hashem, since I got married so early, I don't have to worry about future titus and hirurim. I was already taken care of at a very early age. Omni Rogar Masun Bar Ami Adidok Al Sabre Debrech. He's saying to you, as long as you are able to and your hands are on Sabre Debrech, means that you still have control over your household. Rashi says, In other words, he's not going to rebel if you tell him Musa, if you talk to him. As long as your hand is over the tzavi debrech, the neck of your son, then he's willing to listen to your advice. Vishitzurat esrim betarti. Person should get married from 16 to the age of 22. Amri the other said, Mitam Nisri from 18 at esrim barbot, 24. But the word gets annoyed. And now, until now, the first shot of Rashi is talking about taka marriage. However, Rashi then says a second shot, it's not talking about marriage, but it's talking about Teichocha and Musr generally. You want to guide your son, but you want to guide your son when he's still going to listen. Not when he's so old that you're going to give him guidance and advice, and he's going to go and give you a patch, chas v'shalom.
Chalila.
Chalila v'chas. If you look at the Rashi, Mishitzah, the next Rashi, fourth line, Mishitzah Shnin, 16 years old. He gives man lichlo, it's time to get married. V'yos m'yas v'taritin, al tachrei. Don't delay beyond 22. So that's going on marriage. Lashon acher adidach al tzav derech, b'sho'a sh'oy yorchat kifa olav. When you still have control over your son and he is listens to you, have izor l'lam v'teichochis, then teach him Musa and teach him guidance the way he should go. Bezes and money, which is that period of time, Yishitzer had Esrim Atarit from 16 to 22. But Yishitzer ain't by that to come to Chachas, Konkat. Less than 16, you can go and talk to him by talking to the wall because he's not such a Makabal Deya. He's still a young kid, even though he's already Bar Mitzvah. Yeah, he has Deya, but not the Deya to absorb and to accept your Techachas. Be Al Tach Be Yisurim Techachas. And don't be Machba, don't put on too much Musr because he's not going to be able to accept it. You shouldn't go and kick, which of course could be both literally and figuratively. So Rashi, that's the real Chatterway, the second chat. We're going to be finished another moment.
6:20 tomorrow.
Another moment, we're going to be done. One moment. So if you mark it, Tanoi, this second shot now fits very nicely into the next shot we want. So Machloek Sturat says, the Pascha Nechlenar Alpi Dark, we're talking about being Mechane, the beauty of a Mechane, Chadam and Shitz Biat Es, and Mitat from 16 to 22, Chadam Mitam Israel Biat Es, Rabo from 18 to 24, and now says Rashi Alpi Dark, Derech, Shekol Yom of Yehi Mesnai Heg Boy, the type of Derech that throughout the years, that's going to be Mesnai Boy, he's going to be guided, Chanoi Chloi Ben Arusai, teach him when he is young. Beizu ben Arusai, what is the definition of Chanoich Lina'ar al Pidarka? Yerim Nechemia, 16 to 22 or 18 to 24.
Wow.
Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Sizagi Ben Zak.